The parasha begins, V'yema Hashem al Moshe emal kahanim b'nei Aharon v'marta lehem. And Rashi, trying to answer the question, which was the Torah have to say the word emar twice, it says emal kahanim and then v'marta lehem, says Rashi, l'hazer g'doylim al ketanim. The simple pshat in Rashi is the Rashi saying it is the obligation of the adults to teach and educate the young people. But of course the question is, why did the Torah say this concept here? And moreover, why? What does it really mean? The Medrash on this Pasuk says, Emo kahanav amartam. The Pasuk, as the Medrash points out, as we pointed out, says the word emar twice. Ubal malachim nemar. But then the Pasuk says, the Malachim, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu addresses the Malachim, it says, B'gzeris irin pizgoma u'bamamer kadishin. Says the Medrash, Hal yoinim she'en b'em yetzahara, when we speak about Malachim who do not have a yetzahara, b'mamer achad yeshtai, one statement is enough of a yoimer. Av tachtonim she'esh b'em yetzahara, the we in this world who have a yetzahara, b'shtei ha'miris, with two times that the Torah says something, v'lavai yamid. So the question is, we have a Yetzirah, and we indeed need help to be able to fend off the Yetzirah. But the question has not been answered, how does Emor v'amarta respond and help us answer that problem, that difficulty, that challenge that we have a Yetzirah? So the Dubna Magid in his Sefer Emes LeYaakov has a very interesting shot to this entire medrash, entire issue. He says, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, a Pasuk that people who make siyumim are very familiar with. The Pasuk says, Einecha lanoichach yabitu, your eyes should look forward, v'afapecha yeshiru nadecha. It's a Pasuk that we also say when we bench our children every year on Erev Yom Kippur. What does this pasuk really mean? So he explains, the Emes LeYaakov. People, when they talk to themselves and then they talk to others, it's very different. When somebody's talking to himself, thinking about something that affects him personally, the approach he takes is to find that everything that he does is acceptable, that life, he tries to not make things difficult for himself. Whereas when somebody speaks about somebody else, so the challenges that others are feeling and the issues that others are facing aren't as significant. Says the Pasuk in Mishlei, Einecha lenoichach yabitu. When you're speaking to others, you should look at others. When you're teaching others, don't look at yourself. Teach them. It'll be easier for you to impart to them than what you're ready to teach yourself. After you teach them in such a manner, v'afapecha yeshiru nagdecha, then you'll be able to think about yourself. But ultimately, explains the Dubna Magid, we always are really trying to teach ourselves. When we teach others, really the goal is to teach ourselves. And that's why, he explains, the best way to teach children is by living by example. And that's what the Pasuk says, Emor v'amarta. If you want your amarta, if you want the way you talk to others to be influential and effective, Emor, speak to yourself first. The way we bring up our children, the way we behave, will have a direct impact on our children. And I saw a fantastic story with Rabbi Mechal Ber Weissmandel. Rabbi Mechal Ber Zatzal once mentioned that there were parents that came to see to him that a terrible tragedy is happening in their family. The tragedy is that their son, their daughter, whoever, was getting married to a non-Jew. And these were people who were Holocaust survivors. Their families had been wiped out in the war. And now that the family members, the few family members that are left, the future generations of this family, were getting intermarried. And they were obviously very, very upset. So Rabbi Michal Ber Zatzal asked them, which school did you send your children to? And they admitted that they sent their children to non-Jewish schools. They thought that they would have a better education there. So Rabbi Michal Ber said, if you would have cried and done what you were supposed to do at that time, you wouldn't be crying today. And he told them, there was once a city that was a city on the border between two countries, a city on the border between Poland and Russia. And he said the Jewish cemetery of that city was actually in Russia. And when anybody from Poland, from that city, would pass away, they would bring the body to Russia. And it was, of course, a very complicated process to have to carry the body and go through customs and go through a border. So they made an arrangement with the Russian border police that if they're coming with a body in a coffin, they shouldn't have to go through all the procedures. It's not a kavra meis that the person who had passed away should have to wait till they go through all these procedures. And they agreed. They agreed that if they saw a levaya, a funeral coming, they would just let everybody go through. What happened was that unscrupulous people took advantage of the situation. And what they did was that they used to take the coffin and fill it up with all sorts of illegal material that they wanted to smuggle into the other country. And they didn't have to go through customs because they're going to a levaya. There's a coffin. But of course, we know at a levaya, people cry and are sad and are in a bad place attending a funeral. The border police noticed that people were coming to these funerals and they were laughing and they were talking and they were smiling, and they realized that there's something going on here. So at the next funeral, the next supposed funeral, they stopped the levaya. They stopped the funeral and they said, we want to examine what's inside this box. And of course, they started saying, how could you do so? We have an arrangement. It's a terrible lack of respect to the person who died that you open up the box. But the border police insisted, we have to open up the coffin. They had no choice and the coffin was opened. And obviously, they were caught smuggling. The people who had been doing the smuggling asked them, how did you catch us? What gave us away? So they said, it was very obvious. If you were really attending a funeral, you wouldn't be smiling and laughing and talking. The fact that we saw you behaving that way was clearly an indication to us that there was something amiss here. And they said to those people, had you cried when you were supposed to cry, you wouldn't be crying now. Said Rabbi Michal Ber, raising a child to be a good observant Jew takes sweat and tears. It takes a lot of chinuch. It takes, like we learn in our parasha, Emma v'amarta. We have to serve it as example to our children, our devotion to Yiddishkeit, our devotion to Torah and mitzvahs. If we want our children to learn, then we have to learn Torah ourselves. If we want our children to daven properly, we have to daven properly. If we want our children to observe mitzvahs properly, we need to observe mitzvahs properly. Emma v'amarta. And if we're going to cry, because it's not easy to raise and devote yourself to raising great children, But Sadra Mechal Ber, if you'll cry at the beginning, you won't have to cry at the end.